Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating. With the clinic being so busy right now and all of us just overloaded, it's really hard sometimes to take a step back. And, you know, we talk about client communication a lot with dermatology, and it's still a huge passion of mine. But what I think is also really important besides communicating, because when we talk about allergies, you know, we always say, make sure the owner knows it's a lifelong condition, make sure they know to watch out for flares. But I also think it's really important to set up our clients' expectations on what's realistic for them. And an example of that is today I had a client who the dog had been on Apoquil, seemed to work well in the past, now wasn't working as well. And, you know, we identified infection and we were talking about addressing that because maybe the Apoquil would work great if we just got rid of the infection. The pet also needed to be on flea control because there's a lot of chewing towards the rump and all of that. But they had been referred in for allergy testing and just, you know, kind of had the expectation they would come in to be allergy tested. And these are owners where there were severe financial constraints over what they could do during that visit, but then also long term. And so when we started talking about, you know, treating the infection and figuring out what we were going to do for long term management, they had mentioned, well, we thought we were coming in to get allergy tested. And I am the first one to adore allergy testing and love it and wish I could do it in every allergic pet. However, realistically, in that pet, I told them I didn't think it was a good option, at least right now, because if we were having a hard time just paying for dealing with the infection, that was the thing that was more essential to be treated rather than allergy testing and spending money on immunotherapy that was going to potentially take up to a year to see how well it worked. And even if it was helpful, potentially may not control the dog on its own. Like, we may still need to use other antipyretics or manage infections. And this was going to be extremely hard financially for these owners. So we had to take a step back and say, what's most important today? Today, what is most important is getting that dog comfortable. And that means treating infection, which included ears and skin on this dog, and then reevaluating our goals after we treat the infection. You know, sometimes we have owners come in and they're just ready to do it all, you know, treat infection and start symptomatic treatment and switch the food and, you know, do skin testing if we think it's appropriate based on the history and what's already been done diagnostically. However, do not be afraid to view these cases as a step-by-step process. What I like to tell owners is there's layers to allergic disease. And sometimes we need to just spend time on one layer. It is not wrong to just say, there is a lot of infection here. Let's take the next few weeks to clear up the infection. Let's see what we're left with. Because all of a sudden, if we clear that infection and this dog does amazing on Apoquil and new flea control, and that is what's realistic for the owner financially and emotionally right now, that's great. That's much better than having an infected, uncomfortable dog or giving up on a medication that, you know, might actually be a good option and provide a great quality of life. So I just bring that up because I know it's hard right now with how busy the clinics are, but it's okay if we need to take a step back and just meet the owner where they're at. And I've talked on this in previous podcasts when we talk about dealing with atopy, but take a step back. If you have a pet that's really infected and they're just chewing their rump in their belly, provide some antipyretic relief, treat the infection, and see how they just do on flea control at first. You know, when they recheck and they're doing great, just try to take away the antipyretic and see what happens. Maybe that pet is 80% better. And the little 2 out of 10 licking or itching they do, the owners are very, very happy with and are okay monitoring that to see if it gets worse in case there are other allergies that, you know, occur or develop over time. But it's just really important to set our clients' expectations. It's hard when clients come in expecting that, you know, we're going to allergy test and avoid those things, and this is going to be the end all be all. Because the true reality is allergic disease is a multimodal treatment. It's something where we have to manage infections. And even the pets I manage that do great with their allergies potentially have a flare every now and again. So setting up their expectation that if we get referred for allergy testing, it's a wonderful, amazing, my favorite long-term therapy to try to manage these dogs in cats in a natural way, in horses, we do some horses and zoo animals, all the animals. It's really great for that long-term trying to get them less dependent on medications, trying to have less infections happen. But it is very unrealistic to refer them with the expectation that they will do that and we'll figure out what they're allergic to and they'll avoid it. Or we'll figure out what they're allergic to and, you know, there's a really heavy chance only immunotherapy is all they'll need ever. We just have to make sure we're thinking of the pet first and we're thinking of the client, and every client is totally different. That being said, if you have the ability to refer a case, it is still fine to refer a case if they cannot necessarily do it all. Not every single one of my clients can allergy test their pet. It's just not, you know, emotionally or financially an option for them, but we can still do a lot of good managing their disease. And sometimes I have clients where they come in not thinking they will allergy test, but over time, as we're managing disease and they understand it better and they're not as overwhelmed, then they will. But I just think we want to make sure we're serving that animal the best way that we can. And first and foremost, that is improving their quality of life. That is treating the infection if it's there, providing relief, seeing what's realistic for the owner so that we can work with them. And it's not a catch-all where we have one plan that every single pet goes on. Sometimes if I have a wicked swollen ear, I tell the owners, you know, we need to treat this ear infection and to reduce the swelling. That might include some oral steroids right now. However, I'm not setting up the goal that we want to keep your pet on oral steroids forever. We just might need it for the next, you know, 4 or 6 weeks, depending on how bad the ear infection is or how bad the swelling is, because I don't put every ear infection on oral steroids. But if it's a really swollen ear and we need it, I let the owners know, we need this right now. We need to make sure we get the swelling under control, but I would really like to make sure we find another option for the long-term management of allergies that's not steroids. Sometimes we have to pivot based on the season or based on what's going on in the animal. And I like to explain allergies like a moving target. Like sometimes we have to change, we have to move in order to deal with what's going on right now. But then we might be able to come back to our baseline therapy, or we might be able to do something else long term once we get this current flare under control. So it's just something I felt like was important to go over, because I've had a lot of cases recently where they're sent in, you know, not really understanding what allergy testing entails, or not really understanding that we just need to take some time to clear up infection. Clean up the pet, get them to baseline if you need to, and see where they're at. Another question I've been asked a lot recently is, you know, what do I need to do before they get referred to you, or what do I need to do what do you like to see done before a pet's referred to you? And I think this is totally different for every patient, because it really depends on the owner and the confidence of the veterinarian and dermatology. Ultimately, I think there's definitely a few basic things that can be done to help these cases that are being referred. Certainly cytology, everything, which is why I'm so passionate about lecturing on cytology in the cytology guide I have on my website. I'm passionate about that because one of the biggest missteps we see is not identifying infection or throwing antibiotics at things that don't need them and breeding resistant bacteria, which we already know is a huge problem in veterinary and human medicine. But other basic things that can be done besides identifying infection are remembering the basics. So make sure they're on a good quality flea control, like an isoxazoline. Saving a referral for a flea allergic dermatitis can be super helpful and less frustrating for the owner. If you feel confident about a diet trial and managing which diet to use, and remember allergy testing for food is not accurate, so we have to do that strict diet trial. If you feel confident about the types of foods, how to manage that, then by all means, it's much easier for us to see a case that has already had a diet trial. You know, however, we want to know it's a good diet trial. So if that's something you don't feel comfortable with, I personally, and everyone's different, don't think it's wrong if you refer if we're starting to get a lot of recurrent infections and discomfort for the pet, and you know, you're not really sure how to talk to the owner about a diet trial and which diets to pick and how long to do it and the complications that can come with that. But certainly good flea control, like an isoxazoline, treating basic infections to make sure your antipyretic didn't stop working because of a secondary pyoderma or Malassezia dermatitis, are really great starting points. And the rest comes with your confidence and learning how to manage these cases with experience, because they're all different. Most of them are frustrating to some degree. But just setting up that client expectation can be so helpful in ruling out those easy, basic things. And then referring when you don't feel comfortable. So I thought that's helpful. I've just seen a lot of questions coming in about, you know, what to do before referral. And then also just being referred for things like allergy testing, but just the owner's having a hard time understanding that that's actually going to be something that takes some time to work. So I hope that's helpful. I know this world is crazy. It's insane. I've never seen the clinic as busy as it is, but we will all get through this together. And if there's any other podcast ideas or just basic questions you have about managing these cases or referral, please reach out, at the Derm Vet on Instagram or my Facebook, or you can also get on my email list through thedermvet.com. We are going to be launching the Derm Nerds this week. I am so excited. So that's going to be my online community where we're going to dive deeper. So it's essentially like taking the podcast and, for lack of a better dermatology term, putting it on steroids. It's going to be like a online collaboration, a private group that really just dives deeper into these topics, these discussions, us having open forums, because I get that this is complicated. Allergies seem, you know, simple and straightforward. There's only so many medications. There's only so many tests, but it's not. It's almost more frustrating because it's like you have to figure out all the ways these things can go together, and every case is extremely different from the other. So if you're interested in just really expanding your knowledge, collaborating with other people who are interested in derm and want to talk real life dermatology, then the Derm Nerds will definitely be for you. So make sure you check out my website and you're on my email list for when that launches.